Chapter 1. Nothing but darkness.
Where shall we start?
Gabriel asked.
The place you left off seems wisest,
Jean-Francois replied.
If it's wisdom you're looking for, Cold Blood, you're talking to the wrong man.
Alas, then, that you are the only man in the room.
Gabriel scoffed, leaned back in his chair. Story of my fucking life.
To continue it, then.
The historian plucked an imaginary speck of fluff from his frock coat sleeve, lips pursed.
You had journeyed halfway across the empire on a quest for vengeance after the murder of your wife and daughter. Intent upon destroying the forever king, Fabian Voss, instead you had ended up as guardian of the girl Dior Lachance, last scion of the Holy Redeemer's line. Your brethren among the Ordo Argent had tried to murder you, and your old friend Chloe Sauvage had attempted to sacrifice Mademoiselle Lachance in an ancient ritual intended to end Day's death. But with the aid of your sister, now revealed as one of the Kith and calling herself Liathe,
here the vampire's lip curled in contempt,
you ascended Saint-Michon's heights, butchered your former comrades like holy piggies in a row, and rescued the Grail from certain death. Happy endings for all.
Jean-Francois waved his quill, eyebrow raised.
Unless you were a member of the Silver Order, of course.
The last Silver Saint said nothing, staring at the chemical globe between them and back across far-flung years. A skull-pale moth had crawled from some nook within the cell and was now flitting about the light. He watched the insect beating in vain against the glass, remembering the flutter of 1,000 tiny wings as he'd plummeted from the monastery's heights after his so-called brothers cut his throat. The taste of ancien blood on his tongue, hauling him back from the brink of death. A pale figure in a crimson greatcoat, dragging aside her porcelain mask to reveal the face of the monster, the horror, the sister beneath.
Why didn't you tell me, Selene?
Because everything I have suffered, everything I am, is because of you.
The last Silver Saint took another slow swallow of wine.
Because I hate you, brother.
De Lyon?
Do you ever wonder where this ends, Justin?
Gabriel finally asked.
When the last mortal throat is opened, the final drop of us drained dry.
When your Empress's folly about the Grail is laid bare, and your kind fall on themselves like dogs over the last bone. Will you go down fighting, do you think? Or will you die on your knees?
There is all manner of bliss to be found on one's knees.
The historian smiled, brushing his quill across his lips.
But I assure you, I have no intention of dying.
Neither did she, vampire. The Silver Saint sighed, his gaze still lost in the light. Neither did she.
Gabriel de Lyon leaned back in his chair, the globe flaring brief in the storm grey of his eyes. The air was chill, still, save for the warm whisper of his breath, and the soft hymn of his pulse, and the velvet kiss of bat wings on the night sky outside. The historian held his quill poised over the page. All the world held its breath. And finally, the last Silver Saint began to speak.
I can still remember it like it was yesterday, you know. I can see it so clear. It's almost frightening. The pair of us, standing before that altar. The cathedral empty and silent. The smoke rising to the ceiling and the miserable Day's Death dawn spilling through the windows. And the statue of the Redeemer looking down on the carnage I'd wrought. But the thing I remember most is the blood. Cooling on the floor, thumping in my veins, spattered all over the face of the girl beside me.
Dior was still swathed in the ritual robes they'd meant to murder her in, a price they thought worth paying to save the world. She stood there in the ring in quiet, blue eyes wide and bruised and fixed on me, her sinner, her saviour. And dragging her tumble of ash-white hair from her face, she whispered, "What do we do now?" "I suppose you should come meet my sister," I sighed.
"Sister?"
Long story. Dior watched mute as I knelt beside Chloe's body. My old friend's mouse-brown curls were soaked with gore, empty green eyes staring up in sightless accusation at the man who'd condemned this world to darkness. I pressed her lids shut with bloody fingertips, then trudged up the aisle, doing the same with every silver saint I'd murdered. Big de Severin, little Fincher, old Abbot Greyhand. Friends. Brothers. A mentor. I placed their swords upon their chests, closed their eyes forever. But I didn't pray for any of them. And peeling aside Greyhand's bloodied greatcoat, I found...
"Ash drinker!"
Dior cried. I drew my old broken sword from her battered scabbard. Her dark star steel glittered, glyphs etched down her curved blade, 6 inches snapped from her tip when I'd tried and failed to kill the Forever King. Despite the blood on my hands, the beautiful dame on the hilt smiled at me as always, her arms spread along the crossbar as if to embrace me. Her shout echoed in my head, silver and glittering with joy.
"Gabriel."
"Good to see you, Ash," I whispered.
"Dior, is she?"
"She's here," I cooed. "She's well."
"Give me to her. Give me
I handed the blade over, and Dior took her with a smile. I couldn't hear the words Ash spoke into Dior's mind, but I heard the girl's reply.
"I'm all right, Ash," she murmured. "Nothing to forgive."
Dior hung her head, tucking one pale lock behind her ear. Then she smiled, bright as the long-lost sun, and as she would a sister, Dior hugged the broken sword to her chest.
"Merci, Ash."
Dior gave the blade back to me, and her weight was a perfect comfort in my bloody hand. I squeezed her leather-bound haft tight, grateful beyond words to have her back at my side. One surety in a world slipped into chaos and madness.
"We cannot linger here, Gabriel," she whispered. "Though it may have the look of it, no sanctuary there be upon this hallowed ground for we.
"I do so enjoy your habit of telling me shit I already know, Ash."
"Fortunate, because as ever, ye need me to."
Sheathing the blade with a small smile, I took Dior's hand, and together we trudged up the aisle and into the struggling dawn. The air outside was freezing, thick snows tumbling among the monastery's great pillars, the grand Gothic buildings looming atop them. Saint-Michel was impregnable, a bastion that had stood even as most of the realm fell to darkness. But though Ash Drinker was as mad as a bucket of wet cats, she had spoken truth. There was no respite here for us. Dior's destiny wasn't to be found at the end of Chloe's knife, but I was certain the girl did have one, and we couldn't simply hide here among the bloodstains. If nothing else, other silver saints would eventually return from their hunts to discover their abbot murdered by my hand on holy ground. Not a conversation that would go well, I wagered. But winter's deep had come to Nordland now, the rivers frozen solid, no hindrance to the vampires I knew were still hunting us. The Forever King had set his youngest son upon Dior's tail, and though Danton was dead, Voss wasn't fool enough to risk his entire stake on one throw of the dice. Stepping off hallowed soil, we were stepping into the wolf's maw. Damned if we left, and damned if we stayed. I heard a winch rattling, and looking across the cloister, I saw a dozen sisters of the Silver Priory at the sky platform. Three brothers of the hearth stood beside them, led by the hulking form of old Forge Master Argyle. They were wrapped in furs, carrying hastily gathered possessions, and wearing the hunted expression of folk fleeing for their lives. Fleeing me, I realised. Argyle raised a silver-steel mallet at the sight of us. The old Black Thumb had been present in the cathedral for the ritual, content like all the rest of them to doom an innocent to save the world. But he'd fled as I set about rescuing Dior. I recalled the old man as he'd been in happier days, hard at work in his beloved forge, crafting the weapons that had saved my life on the hunt more than once. But he spat on the stone as he stepped between me and the Holy Sisters now, the burn scars on his pale face etched in livid red.
"Nay closer," he warned.
"Argyle!"
"Back, Gabriel de Lyon. Steer those bloody hands, I warn ye."
I could have stopped them, I supposed. If they lived, they'd tell the tale of what happened here to any who'd listen. And what was a few more murders after what I'd done? But I only watched in silence. I knew what these people saw when they looked at me. Not a hero who'd saved an innocent child, but a traitor who'd desecrated their monastery, killed their friends, condemned their world. One of the sisters made the sign of the wheel, Forge Master Argyle's grey beard bristling as he growled.
"I pray ye live to rue this sacrilege, villain. May God damn ye for it."
The platform descended, down through the wailing snows. I felt bitter winds burning my eyes, the girl beside me squeezing my bloody hand.
"You're not a villain, Gabe."
I squeezed back, smiling at her sidelong.
"I'm a villain when I need to be."
Arms wrapped about her, we trekked to the priory, our shoulders hunched against the howling gale. The grand old building was hollow now, our footfalls ringing on cold stone as we climbed the stairs. Dior showed me to the room where she'd slept, and kicking open the door, we found her clothes neatly folded on her cot, her boots sat beside it.
"Thank the Mother Maid, I'm freezing my tits off in this idiotic robe."
She raised a warning finger.
"And no cracks about needing to have them to lose them."
I raised my hands in surrender.
"I didn't say a word."
"Keep it that way?"
"Sweet Redeemer, you make one jest about the size of a dame's baps and spend the rest of your life apologising for it."
"I think there's a lesson in that for all of us."
I scoffed, and as she tore off her bloodied robes and cast them to the floor, I turned my back, keeping watch on the corridor outside. Dior wasted no time, dragging on the stout breeches I'd given her, the shirt and waistcoat, the fine frock coat, pale with golden curlicue, lined with good fox fur. And brushing her hair back from the dark beauty spot on her cheek, she did a small pirouette, sweeping her arms out at her sides.
"Better?"
I glanced over my shoulder, making a face.
"Passable."
"Bastard," she scoffed.
"You're no oil painting yourself, you know." "I am, actually. There's a good one of me hanging in the Imperial Gallery at Augustin. Muller painted it." I scratched my chin. "I mean, at least it used to hang there. Before I got excommunicated. They've probably hung it in the privies now."
"Appropriate."
"Fuck yourself."
"Such a scorching wit, Chevalier."
"Wit is wasted on the witless, Mademoiselle. Now, we've places to be, and precisely none of them are here. So get your boots on your feet before mine find your arse."
She scoffed, patting her backside.
"You'd have to catch it to kick it, old man."
Dior Lachance was a girl who'd survived on the streets since she was 11, and those years had left her with a gutter-sharp pragmatism, a bawdy wit, a courage that had put most warriors I knew to shame. So even though she'd almost been murdered by someone she'd thought of as a friend, I'd supposed some gruff jesting between us would make her feel on familiar ground. And she played the game at first, ever giving as good as she got. But as she tried to tie her cravat, I saw that her fingers were fumbling.
"You're cold," I lied, stepping in to spare her. "Let me."
She lifted her chin,
allowing me to gather up the cloth at her throat.
As I tied the knot, I could see Dior was avoiding my eyes. "I suppose it's lucky Sister Chloe left my gear laid out," she murmured, "considering she never meant for me to come back here."
"Luck? Oh, the devil loves his own."
"Glad someone's looking out for me. God surely won't be after all this."
"God?" Scoffing, I scruffed her ashen hair. "You don't need God. You've got me."
Her eyes finally met mine, her voice a whisper. "Do you mean it?"
Meeting the girl's stare, I could see her hurt, swimming now to surface.
She was hard and sharp as steel, was Dior Lachance. But I realized that for all her front, she was still only 16 years old. Thrown face first into a world she couldn't possibly have imagined. Everyone she'd ever cared about had either left her or been taken away. Her trust wasn't easy to earn, and to have given it to Chloe only to be rewarded with a knife at her throat. Well, I could see that betrayal had wounded her deeper than I first supposed.
"I mean it," I told her, searching her eyes. "By the blood, I vow it. I know not where this road will lead us, girl, but I'll walk it with you, to whatever fate awaits. And if God himself should tear us asunder, if all the endless legion stood in my path, I would find my way back from the shores of the abyss to fight at your side. I'll not leave you, Dior."
Reaching down, I squeezed her hands tight as I dared.
"I will never leave you."
She fought it a moment longer, dragging her hair down over her eyes, pulling on that armor of bravado she'd learned to wear as a child. A child, seven martyrs, what the hell did I think she was now? But much as she fought it, it broke loose, the dried blood on her skin cracking as her face crumpled. Tears came then, spilling down her cheeks as she hung her head and snarled.
"Fucking coward. Sweet mother-made girl, the last thing you are is a coward."
I reached out to her, awkward, and as my hand touched her shoulder, she sobbed aloud, throwing her arms around me. I hung still a moment, paralyzed, but finally I gathered her up, holding her as she wept. Her whole body shook with sobs, and I rocked her back and forth as I'd done with my own daughter, what seemed a lifetime ago. The memory was jagged as a broken blade, and the thought of ma famille brought a lump to my throat.
"Hush now," I murmured. "All will be well. I promise."
She sniffed hard, crushing her face into my chest as if to smother her question.
Did we do the right thing, Gabe?"
"What do you mean?"
"The ritual," she hissed. "Day's death. We could have ended it. All of it."
My chest ached at that, my bloody deeds in that cathedral weighing heavy. I'd cut my old brethren to pieces to save Dior, and though I couldn't pity folk who'd been willing to murder a child, I was still aware that the rite I'd disrupted might have actually worked. From the moment I'd made that choice, every orphaned child, every murdered mother, every moment of suffering beneath that day's death sky, all of it was now in part my fault, but not hers. "Hear me now." I pulled her back to look her over. "You put a stopper in that bottle of bullshit. You understand me? The choice was mine alone, and if there's a price to be levied for it, then I'll pay the forfeit." I scoffed, trying to sound more certain than I felt. "The writings in this monastery are mostly pig spunk and bullshit anyway. Selene told me if I let the order kill you, all would be undone."
Selene.
My baby sister. The one you know as Laethi.
Dior's tear-stung eyes grew wide.
That blood witch in the mask. She's been trying to get her claws in me since we left Deheath.
She also helped us fight Danton and his brood. She's no friend to the Forever King.
So the enemy of my enemy
is usually just another enemy.
I looked to the window then, the dim light beyond.
But she saved my life. She helped me save yours.
We should hear what she has to say, at least.
It's not safe for us to stay here, Dior. You must decide which path we take next.
She blinked at that.
Me? Why me?
Because this is your life, your fate. You're the Holy Grail of Saint-Michon. I'll stand beside you, ever and always, but your road is your own. You should have the choosing of it.
She sniffed and swallowed hard.
What if I choose the wrong one?
Then we'll get lost together.
She looked up into my eyes, and I saw that old spark kindling in hers.
The road is black ahead, I told her. And it's hard to keep walking when you can't see the ground beneath your feet. But that's what courage is. The will to keep walking in the darkness. To believe the end is just beyond your outstretched hand, rather than a million miles away. And while some might falter, some might fail, some might curl up like babes rather than walk on through that lonely night, you are not that girl.
I squeezed her hand and searched her eyes.
You are not that girl.
She squared her shoulders in her fine frock coat, stood a little taller, dragging those pale locks from her face. And though she was still small, tired, God, so very young in those shining eyes, I caught a glimpse of the woman Dior Lachance might grow up to be. And just for a moment, the dark seemed not so dark anymore.
Come on then, she said. Best not keep Famille waiting.